This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما رواه أبو أمامة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال طوبى لمن رآني وآمن بي وطوبى سبع مرات لمن لم يروني وآمن بي رواه أحمد وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن من أشد أمتي لي حبا ناس يكونون بعدي يود أحدهم لو رآني بأهله وماله رواه مسلم. My dear respected listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I want to ask ourselves the question as to why so many Muslims around the world, 1.6, 1.8 billion Muslims around the world, one third of the population of the world, follows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the way that they do. Many of us have a number of weaknesses and shortcomings in our following and our obedience to the Messenger, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So despite that weakness, despite those shortcomings, despite the fact that we can't do everything that he would like us to do and that his guidance has shown us, however, there is a love that every Muslim has. So deep down, even if a person isn't considered to be too practicing, they would still be offended by a cartoon of him. Even though they don't practice as much, they may never even be praying in fact. They just have some belief in the heart. But because there's something about this messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that takes over the hearts in a way that although you may not express yourself each day as being a lover of his, but the love, definitely the flame of that love does remain in the heart, and people do get offended about this. Yes, there are probably more people that may relate to, that may consider themselves to be Christian, followers of Jesus Christ, then there may be Muslims according to official census. But in the way that Muslims, even nominal Muslims, generally will follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or know that and feel that and wish and desire that one day they will be able to follow him, that kind of following is not found anywhere else. Yes, there's lots of groups in the world, there's lots of people who believe in different ideologies, different individuals. In fact, if you go to Greece, there's still a remnant community who follow and worship Zeus, who still follow Zeus. They still relate to something that was around 2,000 years ago, a belief that was held 2,000 years ago. There's still a remnant of that. So you'll find that throughout the world. There are still people who claim to follow the devil. There's people who follow all sorts of things around the world. However, the diverse community that you have of Muslims around the world, it sets it apart from any belief in anything else. Belief today, if you look at what's trending on Twitter and Facebook, etc., people with the highest following on those are generally movie stars or singers, generally speaking. Or presidents sometimes, like the President of America, for example. However, that's just a trend, it's a phase. As soon as what makes these people look good or sound good or have a position, as soon as that disappears, as soon as they lose that, as soon as they see the end of their time, then that following goes. And that's just a temporary phase that people go through. A very kind of artificial following, because it's just a time of a trend. It's not something that stood the test of time. The way to look at what actually means to follow someone is basically how long it's happened for. Has it stood the test of time? And that's what you see with the Muslims. Now you may say, well, there's more Christians and they seem to love Jesus, and no doubt they do, they profess this love. However, love is where it takes over your heart to such a degree that it makes you want to be like him in every sense of it, whether that goes against your own persuasions, whether that goes against your own desires, your own ideas about certain things. Unfortunately, that's not as found as much as it is in the Muslims. And this is something which at the same time is to be celebrated by the Muslims, and which actually goes to show the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his influence on the Muslim Ummah. It's also something to be feared, something that people think that is it has to be feared. Meaning, non-Muslims, this is what they fear. People who are in positions that want to influence the world in particular ways, they see this as a fear. So then this creates room and support for people who want to denigrate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why is there so much support apparently? Why do so many people come out on the streets of Paris for such a thing? Why do leaders of the world go to for such a thing? Because they see that this is helping to keep down the profile of the Muslims and the profile of the Prophet Muhammad. Because, you know, we should be allowed to denigrate him. It should be allowed to do that. Now the one thing that I want to mention is that nobody denigrates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's gone, he's left his mark. The only people that they denigrate today is us. Because we are not embodying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's profile. We're not embodying his character. We're not embodying his teaching. And that's why the failure today, why is somebody allowed to do that, is because we have not shown the beautiful side of it. There's a Sahabi who's in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says something that is so interesting. He says that if somebody saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all of a sudden, habahu, he would be overawed. He would be taken back with awe. He would be, awe means to be slightly taken aback, maybe frightened slightly. You don't know how to move forward with it because the person is just awing you. It's not necessarily scaring you, but it's just this, I need to tread carefully here. Wow, this is so honorable, so dignified. It stops you in the tracks. But then he says, وَإِذَا خَالَتَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ, that when the person would then begin to know him and know more about him, then he would just begin to love him. Suddenly that awe disappears, not disappears, but becomes turned into love, where you see where this greatness is coming from. You see a dignified individual, then you say there must be something behind him. And I believe that this still works today. There's no doubt about it, this still works today. If people are, the problem is that what makes the highlight and the headlines today is when somebody goes and commits a terror attack. When somebody goes and commits a level of aggression of some sort, takes matters in their own hands and acts like a judiciary and goes and does a killing, for example, and then says that this is in love for the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So then they relate, people are only going to relate what they see, and what they see is murder, extrajudicial killings. In the current climate, that's exactly what it is, right? That's exactly how it's seen, for example. And they relate that to the Prophet Muhammad, that that is what it must be. Because if somebody is being a martyr, wants to be a martyr, wants to go on a mission of this nature, sacrifice their life, put themselves into such a great risk to go and kill a few people for the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, then that means he must inspire them to do that. This will be a very superficial way of doing it. Yes, alhamdulillah, out of this, a lot of people are trying to understand who this Prophet was. The thinkers will think a bit more. And they will think, well, it can't just be that. There must be something behind. There must be something. So somebody 1400 years ago is able to influence people today. What is it that makes them tick? What is it that makes them do things of this nature? So, most people will generally not look beyond the lines. They will just look at the clear kind of so-called associations, while others will try to look through. But this is where we fail, because the only thing that makes the media about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is somebody going and killing in his name, or somebody marching in his name. It's never about somebody acting with great behavior in his name. Now, I know that there's certain bias in terms of coverage and selective process of what people will cover and what they won't cover. But I'm not talking about media only. That's a very difficult battle. You have to start at home. It's going to have to start at home. It's going to have to be about convincing our neighbors of what it means to be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who he was, why he makes us love him so much, why we have this belief in our hearts to such a degree. It's going to have to start at home for the individual, because I've been thinking for a very long time, especially when these things happened last week. I've just been thinking since last week, what can we do to raise the profile? What can we do to raise the profile? What these murders have done, essentially, after speaking to another scholar, what he said is that essentially it's given them a cause. You know, like people have a cause to die for. So this is crazy. You know, you think only religions could do that. You know, only people in religions would do that. But no, they do it for qawmiyyah, they do it for nationalism. People do it for atheism, and France is a great example of that. They've had a revolution against the church. That's what you have to realize. France has had a revolution against the church. That's what makes them different to the British. The British, they don't do as much as, you know, alhamdulillah, we have it much better here. The reflection, you can see that in Quebec, in Canada, the French-speaking, the French language media, they reproduce the comics. They reproduce the pictures after last week's killings in solidarity with them. Whereas the English-speaking or the English-language media there did not do so, and they said we'd do it out of deference for, you know, our Muslim citizens or whatever it may be. So you can see there's a massive difference. There is a history that they have there. I'm not justifying what, you know, their approach or anything of that nature. I'm just trying to give perspective here. So for them, they've had a revolution against religion. The church was really persecuting. The church was extremely persecuting, especially in France. So the response to religion and faith is really extreme down there. The climate is very difficult, even though it has more Muslims than any other country in, you know, in Europe. But that's just the way they are, in the way they do things. We can only make a change from the person next door to us, the Tom, Dick and Harry who lives around you. That's who we're going to have to make a change from. But basically what's happening with us, to be honest, I mean, this is what our problem is, that we're failing both from a dini perspective, a religious perspective, and also from a worldly political perspective. We only react when something happens. Then we'll do a march and we might write a few letters. We won't try to preempt this from before and try to work on making a difference and changing laws that will maybe prohibit these kind of things from happening in the future, as other groups and people have done. We don't do that. And neither do we, in our normal everyday life, embody the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way that we can actually show people in that. So we're failing both from a dini perspective and from a worldly perspective. And this is why these kind of things are happening. You can blame everybody in the world that you want, but at the end of the day, what are we doing? What have we done? You know, giving da'wah to others is not easy for everybody to do. People find it very difficult to speak to somebody about the beauty of the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People find that difficult. But one of the best ways to do this is to start learning about ourselves and then to embody in our own character, in our own behavior. And people wonder, why is this guy so different? Why is this person so different? Why is he so honest? Why is he so compassionate? Why is he so helpful? I see him praying. You know, I see him do these weird postures. He takes off for 5 minutes. He goes and washes himself. Or she does this, or she does that. What is it that makes this? And people are going to be, you know, people are going to be really thinking about this. And then that's the opportunity to tell them why we do what we do. You know, why is it that we love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much? So I think the main thing is about the failure on our own part, which allows these things to happen. And this is the way the world works. If there's enough of an influence of any particular idea, then it will be able to influence the thinking of the time. And we just don't have enough of it, because we are indulgent in every other sense of the word. We're just indulging, we're consumers, and we just consume without being contributors. And on top of that, we expect other people to do our work for us. We expect other people to do our work for us. And we are totally, you know, we're so taken aback. And we are so taken aback, and so we consider ourselves to be victims when the Times or any of the other Rupert Murdoch media will write something against the Muslims or against us. We don't do enough. We just expect that people should do the right thing. We're not telling people what it is that what makes it so beautiful. Why do 1.8 billion Muslims around the world love him, love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as they do? What is it that makes it like that? What is it that makes him so special for them? And there's a number of issues there. The problem is that we don't read enough of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The only thing we know about him is what's trending at the time, what people are speaking about at the time, what the imams are speaking about on Friday, you know, what's going on around Twitter or something at the time. We are literally, our knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is piecemeal, just basically selections, headlines here, there and the other. We have not done a serious study of trying to find out who he really is. Because only then we'll be able to really understand how it applies to our life. We've got this love, we've got this claim, we have everything. Alhamdulillah. Right? And there's nobody more beloved than him that is followed. And people will feel guilty if they do against that. You know, for example, you know you're not allowed to go and eat something haram. But people will feel guilty when they do it. Because they know that this is against his teachings, against the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophetic teachings. But we still do it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such, what this proves is that he is a personality that though he's departed this world over 1400 years ago, he has left such an influence. He has left such an influence, and he said this himself. This is the hadith I related in the beginning. One of the hadith is related from Imam Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that inna min ashaddi ummati li hubban nasun yakununa ba'di, that the people who will love me most intensely will be people that will come after me. Now you know the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the Sahaba had, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that there will be people who will have such an intense love for me, will be people who will come after me. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ رَآنِي بِأَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ, to see me they would sacrifice their wealth and their family if they could but see me. Because why would you do that? Why would you want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if you don't know anything about him? For me to want to see something, I would have to have a lot of interest in that. And the way that I would have to have interest is, it better be somebody special. It better be something special for me to travel, for me to desire, for me to want, for me to have this wish that I want to see someone, I want to meet somebody maybe. It has to be somebody very special. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows it, that what is going to be left of his legacy will be enough to make the people want to see him. And this is the feeling of many Muslims. They would love to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would have loved to have been there around him and for him to be in their midst. But that's what it is. He does command that kind of awe and respect and dignity and love, and that attraction he does have. But it's just, that is the state of the ummah, but we're failing to transmit this to others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also related from Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, as Imam Ahmad relates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tuba liman ra'ani." Glad tidings for those who've seen me. Glad tidings for those who've seen me, wa amana bi, and then they believed in me. They brought faith. Those who saw me in action, saw me in practice, saw me delivering, saw me teaching, saw my guidance, saw whatever we know about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they believed. Good, glad tidings for them people. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa tuba sab'a marratin." 7 times glad tidings. Glad tidings multiple times, 7 times for those who did not see me and still believed in me. Now this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking 1400 years ago about things that were going to happen later on. And subhanAllah, isn't that the case? We still believe in him, a man from Arabia like that, and we absolutely never saw him. We've never seen anything like him. We have shortcomings in our belief, but we love him. You know, we don't do everything that he's told us to do, but subhanAllah, our love is there. We are extremely offended when somebody offends him like that. At the end of the day, today the discussion is not about what others should do. We know they're not going to do it. It's proven. I mean, governments are supporting the idea of such a level of free speech. We're not talking about that. We failed in that regard already. We're talking about ourselves today. What can we do? We have the belief. Everything is there. The ingredients are there. This is the composition of this faith. This is the way it is. It gives you a spark in your heart. And that's why, subhanAllah, you see people who don't practice, don't want to practice. They will not leave the faith though. They will still not leave the faith. They'll come on TV and they will talk against who they will call extremists. Against people who are conservative, who are practicing. They'll come on without their hijabs and they'll come on with great... But they will still consider themselves to be Muslims. They'll still say they love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But then they'll just personalize their faith. Because it's too valuable. So they want to personalize it. There's a value to be had. There's a question that was asked to one such individual. When you're saying that, you know, there's so much corruption within the faith that people practice today, why don't you just go and start another faith? Why consider yourself still to be a Muslim? You know, why still hold on to that title? And that was a very difficult for them to respond to that. There's something in the heart that keeps them wanting to be a Muslim, but they find it difficult to practice. So then they personalize their faith. They said, this is not really my faith. And then they will invoke the messenger. Say that if the Prophet ﷺ was alive today, this is how he would dress, this is what he would do, and this is what he would not do. There's something in the faith, subhanAllah. I want us all to go back today and to be really thinking, stop complaining. Stop complaining of what others are not doing. Forget it. Do it yourself. Are we doing enough? Why are we feeling so hurt? When journals of that nature or magazines of that nature are allowed by law to print, why are we so? We haven't done enough to try to make it law that it's illegal. We haven't been able to influence the people around us who'd be going and trying to buy that magazine, which is, you know, sold huge amounts of copies, even though that it was suffering beforehand and they were looking for donations just a few months ago. They were looking for donations. It could have closed down that magazine. Now suddenly they've just had a facelift. Suddenly they've just had, mashallah, a boost by these acts. What does it do? This is what we must be talking about. Forget what others are not doing for us. What are we doing for ourselves? We can't all hold big conferences. We can't all do big mass media projects. But we can start at home. We can start talking to our co-workers. We can start talking to our neighbors. And it's very difficult to give da'wah, as I mentioned. The best way is the practice of it. Then they get curious. Then you tell them, then you speak about them. But at the end of the day, we do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will have to talk. It will speak by itself. It'll speak by itself. When you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to stop becoming just raw consumers of just taking the benefits of the time, materialism. We need to really focus on what's happening. This must be a wake-up call for us. It has to be a wake-up call for us. Because it's not going to get any easier. It's not going to get any easier. But what are we going to do in our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And that is that we need to start practicing ourselves. We cannot claim to be followers of the sunnah when we don't even read a book of seerah. How do you know what it means when our knowledge of the seerah is literally selections from what people have said here, there and the other, what you've heard an imam saying? We've never done a serious study. The sahaba never had to do a study. It was a social study that was going on. It was a practice, it was a practical, you know, it was a practical experiment that was taking place for them. For us, we have to study because around us we don't see the sunnah being enacted. The other day somebody called me and I'm trying to sell my car and he's giving me a lot of aggravation. I'm telling him, no, you can't have it for this price because I've got a friend who wants it for that price. I'll sell it to you for 3,200 minimum, last price, because for 3,000, a friend of mine has asked for it. And then you know what he starts telling me? He said, you shouldn't sell things to your friends. He started giving me wisdom because he wants a better deal from me. I said, why not? He says, because if something goes wrong with it, this, that and the other. I said, it's all right, brother. My friend wants it. He understands that. And I look after my friends. And he was upset about that. But then he carried on. And I just stopped. And I said, look, if you don't want it, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm really sorry. I can't accept that price. I could have argued with him. But then I thought of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the one who stops an argument, who doesn't argue, even though, who stops an argument when they're wrong, he still gets a place in Jannah around the outskirts. And a person who's right and he prevents the argument for nothing, because you know you're not going to get anywhere with this argument, it's just a waste of time, then you'll get a place in the middle of Jannah or the highest places of Jannah. So that, I mean, I'm only mentioning this as an example that if you know these ahadith in mind, they do help you. They do help your behavior. Otherwise, our behavior is what was taught to us by our culture. You see this, people's culture is, people are generally behaving according to what the culture teaches them. We need to go beyond that to the beautiful way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can only do that if you learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hadith in his different times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the thought and accept us to be great da'is of this. To change our life, to really make us think, how can we help to elevate the kalima of Islam and la ilaha illallah, and how can we elevate the profile of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because he is where he is already. He is already Muhammad, the praised one. It's just about now how we can help and benefit from this. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.